Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll go back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster in the Extra Hour. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. My goodness, Extra Hour. Well, here we are. It's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch base and really just to – we covered so much in the first hour. Mm-hmm. When we ended our last segment, is it really about us? Is it really, really about us? And we just talked about it. It's just so important that we get this right. And I was thinking, I mentioned earlier, you know, it's 333rd day of the year is today, you know, and there's 33 days left.
Oh, wow.
In the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And until the new year.
Right.
And so think about it. You have a little bit over a month
mm-hmm.
to get ready. I mean, it's so important. I mean, 2012, I have never seen days go by so fast.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, when I lived in the South, I was thinking, okay, it's Wednesday. It's going to take forever, you know, to get to set. When I go up north, it seems times just flies by. But I just think even to just the season that we're living in, just the time, that time just going by fast, no matter where you live in this country, really.
Right.
But you need to seize the time. You need to be aware of the season that you're living in.
Right.
And my goodness, we talk about seasons and timings. You know, we are living in the fulfillment of we are living in the times of prophetic fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be ready as a church, if you're going to be part of this end time harvest, if you're going to be one of the ones that God's going to use to advance his kingdom and usher in this third great awakening, then you got to get ready. You got to get in the game.
That's right.
And one of the ways you can do that, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been to the VFN Torch, you miss a day, you miss a lot.
Yeah.
Miss a day, you miss a lot. But I'll tell you, if you go to VFNTV.com, you go to VFNTV Torch and type in the word vision, you'll be able to see several segments there that'll be able to encourage you on your journey. I mean, we've got one called Got Vision.
Right.
Got Vision. The Value of Vision and Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a segment and a highlight called Got Purpose. But it's so important. I mean, and another one, Get Value-Based Vision Management. Listen, without a vision, what? My people perish.
That's right.
If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know when you arrive there?
That's right.
You know? Right. If you don't know where you're going to go, any roadmap will do. Just start moving. You know, but you got to have a vision. You got to know what God's called you to do. And let me tell you, you have 30 days, just about 30 days. Don't get lost in the holiday shuffle here. You know, don't mm-hmm. get caught up in that. Let's let it be about Jesus.
That's right.
And let us focus on what we're going to do to be prepared in 2013, which we believe is going to be the year of the harvest.
That's right.
I mean, we're believing it is the year of the harvest. Mm. Let's believe God. Let's believe God for the harvest of souls 2013. But it's not just going to happen. You got to get prepared.
That's right.
You got to get ready. You got to have vision. You got to have vision or you're spinning around and going nowhere.
That's right.
Well, you know, as we continue to talk here in the extra hour, I'll tell you, you know, you gotta be careful what you say around kids. They pick up and they learn everything. You know, I got a little girl. I have other children.
Very cute
boys.
Girl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Little girl. I have a little girl, a couple boys, big girl. You know, I have children all over. I love all my babies. They're not all babies, but I love all my children. Mm-hmm. And they're so awesome. I think, you know, kids are just God's blessing mm-hmm. to us. You know, they're just amazing. I told my wife, I said, you know, when these kids are so small and they're so little, they're really, really our reward. Because, you know, from ages, zero to, you know, one to you know, three or four or five, mm-hmm. they really don't remember any of the most cute, amazing things that they do. They don't remember any of that, you know? And they do so many cute things. And you got to have a video camera these days. It's like you want to go back and you say, Mom, I mean, you wish they had a video camera back in the day. Your parents had that just to see what you were like.
Exactly.
But they do so many amazing, cute, adorable things. Then they get older and they like playing in the dirt. And you get to tell them, did you shower today? Did you?
You got the deodorant on?
Yeah. I think you need to get some of that on. But when they're babies, I'm driving in the car. I'm dropping off my daughter the other day, and mm-hmm. we're in the car. And normally I'll pray in the car, and I'll pray with her, just praying and talking to her in the back. She's in the back, and she mm-hmm. wants me to sing a song or whatever. And then, as we're going, I get to a certain point in our driving pattern,
right,
where I just start to pray, and I guess a car must have darted out in front of me, so I just stopped.
Yeah.
And she continues and says, Daddy, bless mommy, bless you. Listen to her brothers, she listened to I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And she, you know, all this time she remembered that. So I'll tell you, listen, it matters. Oh, child's two, gonna be three. They take up and they listen to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like little tape recorders.
Little tape recorders, you know, squeeze your children, bless them, and teach them and raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, it's a All great right. thing for her to remember. I didn't even know she was really hearing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, as we talk now, get ready in this extra hour, I wanted to share, I wanted to talk, I know we talked about this before,
mm-hmm.
about faith.
Yeah.
You know? My goodness, what? There's no aspect of your walk with God that does not involve faith.
That's all right.
I think it is a key component, a key aspect of, mm-hmm. you know, what the Lord has called us to. And recently, we just heard a message, you know, having faith in God when God's ways are not like our ways.
Right.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a little help with that.
Oh, like, yeah. I know.
It's like, okay, God, I'm not out of my mind. I'm just out of your mind. You know, it's like, okay, you have a different idea here.
Right.
You have a different idea. But, you know, you got to think about certain things when you think about faith, like, you know, what is faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, what is faith? What? How do you get faith?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with faith? And how do you know when you got it? You know, say, how do you know you're moving in it?
Right.
And so the Bible tells us, you know, Hebrews 11, this is the faith chapter, right?
Right.
Why faith is so important. You know, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
That's right.
Sure and certain. I've had times that I've been doubtful and confused.
Yeah, very uncertain.
But you know, we need to have faith. And not just faith in faith, but faith in
God.
And so true.
That's right.
I mean, it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's faith in what we're hoping for. Faith in something that's not readily seen, available to us through our natural senses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something about being humans, you know what I'm saying? That if we can't taste it, see it, touch it, mm-hmm. smell it, you know,
right.
hear it. But it's not here in our physical senses, but we can have faith for what we're believing God for.
All right.
And God wants us to believe in God. I mean, he wants us to believe in him. He wants us to have faith, wants us to trust him. You know, Hebrews 11:6. I remember the first time I read this, the first time I go, whoa, this is deep.
Yeah.
But Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Right.
We're like, oh, okay, okay. I think this is a key component, Chris. Yeah, I think this
I think
something
that's important.
I think it's something we need to have. Because think about it, without it, we're not. There's no way that we can actually please God. Listen, how can we believe that God's gonna is a God that's gonna reward us if we don't even believe that God is actually there for us?
Right.
You know, He wants to bless us. We gotta believe that He exists and that He rewards. Knowing that He's gonna reward us when we abide and spend time with Him, the reward is that we're gonna hear His voice. We're being obedient to God. We're connected with Him. We're in relationship with Him.
Right.
There's great rewards in God. You know, we get faith by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So I encourage you to listen to VFN radio as often as you can, because it's the word that's going forth and abiding with God. It's, you know, faith comes by hearing, Romans says, and hearing about the word of God, you fill yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, there's so many things out there right now to attack your faith, to attack, you know, the enemy has many channels, if you will, to try to get in your mind and to cloud you.
Right.
And we need to be of people that move with surety, with certainty, with confidence, and knowing that God is with us, that we're with Him, and God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine.
Right.
He's God. But sometimes the enemies of faith is what? Ourselves.
That's right.
We're like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right, our ways of doing things.
Start judging things. That won't work.
Yeah.
That won't work. It's like, are you killing it? Wait a minute, are you killing it? Now, like how we talked about the story of Naaman in 2 Kings, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was
something.
That was something. That was something. If you're not familiar with the story in 2 Kings and Naaman, Naaman is a commander in King Aram's army. I mean, this guy was a valiant warrior. He had great victories. And the word says that the Lord was with him. The Lord given him victory.
Right.
But, you know, this commander had an issue. He had a problem.
That's right.
Yeah, leprosy.
Yeah.
You know, leprosy is a skin condition, man, that is vicious. Actually, people still in this world still have them. And my understanding is that there's colonies in India where people that have leprosy still live together.
Right.
So it's a skin condition. They have sores. And,
right. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I mean, they actually lose limbs. I mean, the fingers, you know, like their nose. Right. Things like that just rot. It's like a skin eating disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty awful disease, and it's highly contagious. So they have to be quarantined.
Right.
So here's this guy who's, you know, was a commander. He's this valiant soldier. He had great favor with the king, but he's got this serious condition now. It's leprosy.
Right.
And so, you know, as we find out, Second Kings, they have this little servant girl that lives with him and his wife, Naaman and his wife, and she's talking to his wife and saying, you know, if my master could get over to Samaria, there's a prophet over there that can really heal him. And I was thinking about that. I don't know what you guys thought about that. I was thinking about that and thinking, you know, what if they would have judged this old little servant girl who knows, was maybe folding laundry, you know, they're cleaning up the house.
Right.
What if they would have judged this little girl? Said, "Who do you know? You know, this girl doesn't know anybody. I am Naaman, the commander of the army.
Right.
You know, I've got victory. I know people in high places like the king. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who do you know?
All right. Exactly.
You know, have you ever been a place where you, you know, yourself, or just known, it's like, you know, just from experience, where maybe unknowingly, but people just get to a place where they just start judging the very thing that could actually help them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Because right there, his help, what he needed, was right there, right in front of him. I think that happens to a lot of us, that, you know, when we have a need of God, mm-hmm. God wants to bless us. He, that's his heart, is to bless us. We need to have faith that he is going to and that he can, right?
Right.
And the faith, you know, the answer to the problem of what we're believing God for, it exists. It's there. It's present. It's there. Mm. But it hasn't materialized. And here in just divine providence, I mean, you have this little servant girl who has the answer to Naaman's needs.
All right.
But if he would have prejudged this little girl, said she didn't know anything, what could she possibly do for me?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know in any circles. I mean, my wealth wasn't enough. My prestige wasn't enough. The right. fact that I was a violent warrior wasn't enough. I know the king. If the king has a huge interest in me getting better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If the king can't hook me up, I mean, come on. And yet, they didn't judge her.
Mm-mm.
They didn't judge her. So they're like, oh, okay, Naaman. You know, put a feather in your hat. That's right. Good for you. So he goes and he goes to the king and he's like, look, I got to get out of here. I got to go to this as a prophet, you know.
Right.
So this king writes him up a letter. They start heading down there. He brings clothes. He's got all kinds of jewelry. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's bringing gold. He's going to talk to the king.
Right.
And he shows up to the other king. The king's like, why are you coming here? I can't do nothing. You know, I can't do nothing for you.
Right.
And so he says, like, oh, my gosh, you know, I was sent here. I just, you know, oh, my, mm-hmm. what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Then Elisha, the prophet, says, you know what, King, go ahead and send that guy on over here. We're going to let him know that there's a prophet in Israel. Go ahead and mm-hmm. bring him down here.
Right. And Naaman's not a Jew.
No.
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 Which is totally interesting, this whole story.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you would think, right? But he's not.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So he shows up in front of to the door of Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so interesting because, you know, Naaman has some expectations. I don't know how.
He had a lot of expectations.
I don't know how, but, you know, Naaman has some expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so Elisha sends out this little servant. I mean, who knows? It could have been like, you know, I think of the Fantasy Island tattoo guy coming out. You know, Aunt, my mom says to go dip in the water 7 times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
He's like, who are you? He shows up in his chariots, his horses. I mean, he brought some stuff. He had to travel. And Elijah doesn't even walk outside of the house.
Then he shows his face.
And then he tells him, okay, you want to be healed? Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times.
All right.
Do you remember Naaman's response?
Yeah. He was pretty upset.
Angry.
Yeah.
Oh, he was hot.
Oh my goodness. He had all kinds of expectations.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And the word says that he was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke what he thought. It's like, oh, no, no, you didn't, Naaman. You did not go there. You did not go there. Did you just get angry and speak? And it's like, and just, you know, if you think about this, we're talking about having faith in God when God's ways are not like our ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Naaman had an expectation. Naaman had a huge need. And so he goes out to seek this healing that he needed desperately.
Mm-hmm.
So we would imagine, right? You got leprosy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, it's... No one wants to hang out with you anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he shows up, and now he gets an answer that doesn't fit his paradigm, doesn't fit his mind.
Mm-mm.
It's not the way he operates, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think, how many times has that happened to us? You know, how many times are we believing God for God to do something in our life, in our home, our ministry, in our marriage, in our job, with our kids?
Mm-hmm.
With our finances.
Right. We played it over and over again in our minds how it's supposed to turn out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we imagine this whole scenario. God doesn't even get close to it.
I mean, just way, just completely off of our grid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
And one of the dangers that we can, you know, fall into is that, I mean, does everything have to pass the litmus test, if you will, that if it makes sense to me, then it must be God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If it has to make sense. Okay, it has to make sense. I mean, it's like, who appointed us
mm-hmm.
to judge of what makes sense? You know, say, okay, well, if Pat says it's okay, then it must be God. All right, it makes sense to Pat.
All right.
Or Chris or John or whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there? And there was a huge expectation. I mean, he even goes further to say, Naaman says, I thought he'd come out,
mm-hmm.
wave his hand and say, touch. And like,
yeah,
hands
yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I thought he was going to do something, you know,
yeah.
spiritual here.
Exactly. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, he's not a Jew, so obviously he's living in this foreign land where they probably had all kinds of, you know, witchcraft and incantations. He probably went to all of them and none of it did any good.
Yeah.
So that was probably his mindset. This was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It totally blew his mind. Yeah, go dump in that mud puddle over there
and you'll
be good.
Yeah. I mean, totally foreign. Totally mm-hmm. foreign.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta think about that because oftentimes God, you know, he's not out of, you know, his mind. He's out of our mind. You know, mm-hmm. he's operating on a whole totally different playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that we always gotta ask ourselves is, dude, do we want God's way or do we want our way? Do we want an answer to the solution or do we want to dictate to God? You know, we want God to agree with what our plan is. Well, I prayed about it, but I didn't expect God to answer like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So Naaman's got an issue here. Skin is itchy. You know what I'm saying? He's got a huge need. And I'm amazed too that sometimes people with the greatest needs, the greatest needs, often have the highest objections when God meets, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
What you don't eat McDonald's? You're hungry, but you don't eat McDonald's. You only eat steak.
Right.
Okay.
You won't eat peanut butter and jelly?
Okay. You got a need, right? It's like, oh, wait a second. You need new shoes, but, oh, you only wear Nikes. Oh, you only wear white Nikes at that. But, you know, we won't go there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? I mean, how could Naaman have such a huge need like leprosy come all of that way?
Right.
Come all that way. And yet, he didn't even see the condition, the true condition of himself. That's what pride does. Pride has become so blinding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes humility to have faith.
That's right.
Because, you know, humility is total dependency upon God
mm-hmm.
and respect for other people.
That's right.
But he was so full of pride. It was just so blind that he couldn't even see mm-hmm. his true condition. I mean, he got up, really? You're hungry?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not eating? And you're, you don't like TV dinners? Like, Help me. Somebody help me right now. I was like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we need to have an attitude of gratitude mm-hmm. no matter what God tells us to do.
Exactly.
And so I love how his servants are around him. And I mean,
thank goodness for those servants.
Oh, my goodness.
They missed it.
I mean, Chris, you can only imagine the scenario. I mean, a little girl comes over and she's kind of like elbows, like, Naaman. Can I speak with you for a minute? You know, she has a little pocket mirror in her purse. She's like, Naaman, can just want to show you here your true condition. Like,
yeah,
come on now.
Right.
And you know if you're dragging your family through your situation, you got true needs. They don't went with you all this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Naaman stunk. I mean, he had all these wrappings around his body. You can only imagine the stench. And it's like, bro, we are not going to travel with you all the way back. We came here, okay?
Right, we came here for a purpose.
You're going to get healed, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. Hey, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. And one of the things is that when we become so full of pride is that then all of a sudden now we start to question what God told us. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it didn't agree with what we thought was right. So now somehow we have to shoot that. Was that really God? Mm-hmm. But God, I have such better ways. I mean, come on. I mean, really? Dip in the Jordan River? Or were there not better rivers, he said, elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That river's nasty. Think about that.
I know it.
When God's way doesn't make our ways, you know, match our ways, are we going to humble ourselves and do what God said to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to be critical and judge the very thing that God wants to use in our life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a lesson that we have to learn. It really is a true lesson that we have to learn.
That's right.
Because this walk with God, this is a journey. Whether you accepted the Lord, you know, yesterday, or you've been walking God, you know, forever, it's a journey walking with the Lord. You have to walk in faith. You got to walk and be able to trust Him. But trusting Him means that you're not trusting on what you know and your plans. You're trusting in His plans.
Mm-hmm.
You're trusting in His plans. And it takes great humility.
Right.
You can't walk into God and say, okay, God, I'm ready for you to answer me. That's right. Exactly what I thought.
Yeah. And God's going to resist you every step of the way until you humble yourself.
That's right. And so they spoke to him. They spoke to him, and he was like, okay. Okay. And so he goes to dip. He goes to dip in the Jordan. I mean, so unconventional.
Mm. Seven times.
Seven times he dips. Mm. Seven times. You got to know with every time he's dipping, he's looking around saying, is anyone looking at me? And I was like, and the Bible says that this man's body came out like the flesh of a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at young boys and young children, their skin is so smooth and just pretty. Good. There's no nothing on it. Just so soft.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. And you think about it. How many things did Jesus do that was so unconventional?
Yeah.
It's like, are you really going to roll that dirt and spit in your hand and put that thing in the eye socket that I've been trying to keep clean all this time? Are you really going to do that, Jesus?
Yeah, exactly.
Elijah, did I hear you correctly? Did you tell me to give you the last porridge, just last little bit here to you before I give it to me and my son before we die? Did I hear that correctly?
Right.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many things like that the God requires us to do that's totally opposite?
Yeah. All of it required faith.
All of it
because it made no sense.
Mm. All of it required faith. If it makes sense to us, it's like dangerous.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say, you know, it's dangerous when you try to serve a God that you already have figured out. It's like, really? It's like, how big is that God? You know what I'm saying? How big is that God?
Mm-mm.
Come on now. We have to be able to loose our opinions and our judgments, get all the pride out of our life, and say, you know, God, I'm just going to follow you. Your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk this out in faith. I'm going to walk this out in humility. I'm going to believe that you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Right.
And it doesn't have to make sense to me. And so Naaman dips.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out healed. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a situation that comes to mind when it's totally contradicts or totally, you know, what God you want me to? When you're thinking, think about this. A lot of times, you know, when we first come to God, remember, we're getting rid of our stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're trying to get away from the stuff that we've learned in the world and stuff that we've tried to do and all this type of stuff. And our minds are becoming to get washed and cleansed. When we're reading the Word of God, our faith is arising, and we want to start doing things God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And we start out well. We start out with good intentions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But after a period of time, what happens? What happens that fear and pride comes in, mm-hmm. and it just stops that, well, I can only trust God up to this far.
Right.
Let me tell you, faith is something that needs to be exercised. It needs to be employed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what proves that you have faith is not that you say you have faith. Mm-hmm. It's that you actually do something with that faith. I always talk about the green light scenario. I don't know why, but I guess it's because it's easy for me to understand. But if you're sitting at a red light, let's say, and you and I could be sitting in the front driver and passenger seat, and you can tell me all day long that green means go. And mm-hmm. I believe that? Yep. I believe that green means go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not until your right foot picks up and you press that gas pedal that you're actually proving
mm-hmm.
what you believe.
That's right.
And our actions tell on us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really, really easy people to read. You know, you notice when people commit crimes, a lot of times people's their actions tell on themselves. They said people solve the crime just by looking with the people. Well, okay, you were here, you were there, you did what? It's like, mm-hmm. okay, we got this figured out. And we constantly tell on ourselves what we believe and what we don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what we say, but it's always about what we do. Faith has to be employed. It has to be exercised. And the more you exercise it in a little bit, the more you realize that you'll be trusting and exercising your faith for a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to start somewhere.
That's right. It's like a muscle. You gotta work it out.
You got to work it out. Not one to work out in strength, but definitely one in humility.
Exactly.
We're talking about having faith in God. Having faith in God when God's ways are not like our ways.
That's right.
And he says, give, and then you'll get.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
saying? Forgive, and you'll be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to get out of our mind and get into his mind. We need to get to the place where we're just walking in true humility, complete trust, complete total surrender. And we say, God, you just have your way, whatever you want to do. God, we will trust you, having faith in God. We'll be right back.
You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released,
the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFNTV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFNTV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series. And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent. And,
right.
Wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words. And those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store and type in VFNTV. It's VVictor FNTV. And it, you download the VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program app. And it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other. And realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about we just gotta get men together and we gotta get people together and two men. One man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved.
And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people. All across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. You know, we got back from the break, guys. We're just talking about having faith in God and how it just takes humility, total dependency upon God, and respect for other people. We're going to move in faith.
That's right.
Now, one of the big things about pride, and I would say it's a pretty big thing, is that God resists the proud.
That's right.
God resists the proud.
That's right.
And my concern just for all of us, the church and the nations, I mean, God's going to resist a proud for people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all these resources that we can run to, all these things that we can put ahead of God.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something, God's not going to share his glory with no man. And he's been very, very, very patient with us. And it's like, you know what? I think that we just need to trust him and let go of our ways and go low and slow.
That's right.
And say, God, you know what? I'm going to dump it all. What do you want me to do? And I'm not going to question. Don't question, you know, just don't question in the dark what God's made visible in the light. You know, just listen. God said it. Hear and do.
Right.
Don't hear and judge, hear or criticize. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just hear and do.
That's right.
Well, you know, as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, and before we talk about our wisdom moment for the day, I do want to say that if you missed yesterday's program, if you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you missed a lot. I want to encourage you that we have been, Pat and I, okay, we have been on a game show, if you will. We did a fantastic segment. Greg was the host. It still is. And Friday, it looks like we're gonna play this game again. We're gonna play this game again on Friday. You gotta tune in Friday. But it's we're talking about the U.S. citizenship test. It's a test that everyone that wants to become a citizen of the United States who's not a citizen, they have to take this test. It's about 100 questions total to prepare for this test. Right. And it's information that all Americans should know. Right. And right now.
Should know.
And right now, you know, Pat and I have been answering, you know, 5 questions at a time. Mm-hmm. And going back and forth.
Well, some of us have anyway. Oh. I think you got deported yesterday.
I think we talked about pride a little while ago. You know, I'm not sure about that. But yes, I was close to being self-deported.
Self-deported.
But it's really good. I mean, we talked about the Constitution, talked about the Declaration of Independence. What were the rights? Mm-hmm. That they were pursuing with the Declaration of Independence, right to liberty, life, pursuit of happiness.
Right.
And this was really, really good. This was just round two. We've had round one, and when you search, you can look up U.S. citizenship test. Mm-hmm. When you look that up, you'll see those segments, and we're going to continue. We're going to continue on this. I encourage you join us on this journey here. And listen, we've had Jeopardy music and all. We have buzzers when we get it wrong, and we got class when we get it right. I mean, see how well we're going to do on this test. I know that Pat's been Googling up now. I know he's been Googling up.
I've not Googled anything yet.
You heard it. Yesterday, we also talked about don't close your jaw when it comes to expressing love. This was a great wisdom moment that was shared. We just talked about that, you know, the word says better is an open rebuke than hidden love. And why is that? You know what I mean? It's like, listen, if you're a father, you're a parent, you know, sometimes it's more challenging at times maybe for a father to express or vocalize love for a child or for any loved one. Listen, you don't close your jaw. It's so important to be able to share with those that are close to you what they mean to you and tell them. Tell them that you love them. Mm. Because you know what? They're going to do other things to get your attention. Right. And listen, I'd rather hear anything than not hear nothing at all. Just let me know that I exist.
Right.
And it's very empowering and very encouraging. Also, we talked about the 2.5 Men star, Angus, who came to the Lord, and we shared about this earlier. You got to hear this segment. This is just so bold about it, about his walk with the Lord and how he doesn't even want to be in the program anymore. And says it's filth and should stop watching it.
Yeah.
He says should stop watching it.
Right.
And in that segment, too, we talked about Brian Welch, who was one of the lead guitarists for a rock group called Korn, and how he gave his life to God and the journey that he was on. I'll tell you, these testimonies are going to encourage you because, you know, people are coming to the Lord everywhere, all over the world, from all different, you know, places. And let me tell you something. Jesus is in the saving business. He wants everyone to come to him and to have eternal life, and it matters. And it's just beautiful to hear that. And the last thing we talked about yesterday before we get to the wisdom moment was what happens when we choose government over God. I mean, listen, you missed yesterday, you missed a lot. This was good stuff because we talked about, you know, what happens when the Israelites chose government over God in 1 Samuel 8. Mm-hmm. You know, and God was very clear when he told Samuel, hey, listen, Samuel, don't get bent out of shape. They're not rejecting you. Mm-hmm. They're rejecting me. They want to form a government like the rest of the nations. They want everything provided for them. Mm-hmm. They want a government. They don't want me. Let me tell you something. They found out that there was a price to pay when you choose government over God. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, you know, many Americans today made a selection. They're making a choice.
That's right.
Listen, you're gonna get what you ask for because God will honor your wishes. He will honor your wishes, but you may not like what you get.
That's
Right. And we are going to be facing some challenging times. But the thing is that, you know what? The question is always is it going to be worth it as believers to go through something, to go through whatever circumstances and challenges we may face so that people that don't know God can come to know him?
That's right.
You know, my answer to that, hey, is yes. You know, when it's all said and done and we're sitting in it, are we going to regret the momentary troubles that we went through this life? Are we going to regret that so that others can come into the kingdom?
Right.
It's going to require patience, endurance, humility, but God can help us all the way through.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We can make it. But also, it's a great, great, and you can go to VFNTV.com for this too, but if you want to hear more detail about this message, it's a Tale Between Two, SOS, Tale Between Two Kings. Tale Between Two Kings, SOS, and you really want to search for that because it really, really will bless you.
Right.
But as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, I want to talk about the wisdom moment, and that's found in Proverbs 28:22. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. A stingy man, Pat, is eager to get rich and is unaware, no clue, that poverty awaits him. Think of the word stingy. You know, just even sounds funny. Stingy, stingy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No, almost like stinky, you know. But stingy, it's a reluctancy to give. Reluctancy to give.
All right, which is a lack of faith, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Reluctantly to give or spend. You know, some other words that this is some synonyms, you know, like greedy, grudging, scrimping, uncharitable, ungiving, selfish. You know, it's someone that hoards, you know, it's kind of like, here's half of one, here's a little bit, you know. And no one really likes a stingy person, do they? If you're with someone who's stingy, you're just like, you know, never mind. I won't have anything. You know, I just won't have anything. But it's interesting how a stingy man feels that the way to get rich, or to have more, is to hoard and hold on to what they have. And if you're going to give it all now, if you're going to give it all, we only give sparingly. You know what I'm saying? We share. And a stingy man feels that the more I hold on to, the more that I keep for myself, the more I have. And the truth is that this proverb tells us very plainly, God's word tells us that what awaits a stingy man is the complete opposite of what he thinks he's going to get.
That's right.
What awaits the stingy man is poverty. You know, Luke 6:38 says this, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, the stingy man doesn't realize that once he gave out that little half a teaspoon of blessing out, well, he's going to get a half a teaspoon of blessing back. You know what I'm saying? Oh, is that the measuring cup? You know, God's going to use whatever measuring cup you want to use. You want to use a little teaspoon of giving? Well, he's going to get that little teaspoon. Then we pray, Lord, will you bless me? He goes, yep, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, all right? I'm looking for something to give you a blessing. Give me that little teaspoon you use right there. Give me that same one. I'm going to go in. You know, I'm going to dump you out a little blessing here. Here you go. And it's more blessed. You're more blessed to give. You see, the stingy man gave sparingly. And the thing here is this. Look, we don't need to be stingy. You know, what do we have that God's not giving to us anyway? The thing about the stingy man, stingy woman, right? Same. Is that they actually think that they did something for what they have.
Right.
They actually think that they were involved in the process and it was all their doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what does any, you know, what do any one of us have that didn't come from the hand of God?
That's right.
If God gave it to you, God's calling us to be a good steward, a good manager of what he's given us.
That's right.
He didn't call us to hoard and to keep and to hold what he's given us. He's called us to manage that. Why are we talking about this? We're talking about Proverbs. We're talking about a wisdom. We're talking about following God's ways, not our ways. We're talking about how would God want me to be?
That's right.
And everything that runs through our hands is because the Lord blessed us with those things. So you're saying, well, how are you going to manage that? You know, Psalm 112:5 says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Goodwill will come to him who is generous. You know, generous is liberal in giving, sharing, willing, just willing to give unselfishly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big one. Disregarding your own advantages and welfare over those of others.
Right.
Generous doesn't always mean that you had just have so many resources. I am just and I can be generous. Now because I'm sitting on all these millions, I mm-hmm. can just doling it out. No, right. That doesn't mean that. It means in whatever state that you find yourself, whatever amount of resources that you do have, mm-hmm. whether millions or less, mm-hmm. that what you do have, you'll actually give liberally.
That's right.
And you know, it'll probably be at your own expense.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shocking, shocking find.
Yeah, right.
Right, that we can be generous, because sometimes we're thinking that generous means, well, if I have, then I'll give. Mm-hmm. If I'm blessed, then I'll give. You know, it's like, no, we can be generous,
mm-hmm.
even at the point that means it less for us. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to be generous.
All right.
Proverbs 11:24 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Listen, I think that God wants us to be generous in our giving, to trust him with everything that he's given us, to believe that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory, and that we don't have to hoard and keep and try to be sparingly with the things that he has already given us, not that we've done on our own. The wisdom moment for today is found in Proverbs 28:22. A stingy man is eager to get rich, and is unaware that poverty awaits him.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.